This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dale, for this introduction, and welcome to the Christian War Room. And again, you know, Christian War Room, I have to say this every time, and probably if I'm just looking, and this is, I think, the 63rd talk on this subject, but it's so important to just mention this. We are not talking about jihad. We are not talking about fighting flesh and blood, blood and flesh. It's not about that. It's about fighting against anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And when we talk about the knowledge of God, we are not talking about dead theology. We are talking about the truth. And we are talking about the truth as it is revealed in the Bible. So our basis is the Bible. And that's what we try to go right back to the Bible. So we are not interested in clever theology, clever ideas. We're not interested in the ecumenical spirit that seems to be around these days. We are just interested in the Bible. And that is what we try to disseminate, and that is what the Christian War Room is all about, to let people know what we stand for, what the Word of God stands for, and then leave it up to them, you know. The Muslims say there's no compulsion in religion, and yet, if you don't want to believe, they've got the right to kill you or to demand a tax from you, the so-called jizya. Now, with the Christians, it's slightly different. Yeah? If you don't want to accept the word we give you, it's okay. It's fine. It's no problem. Yeah? We just walk out of your town. We lift up our sandals or feet or whatever, or shoes, and we shake off the dust of our shoes as a witness against you. So basically, we have given you the message. You didn't want to receive it. It's fine. We have done our job. One day you'll stand before God and you'll have to explain yourself why you rejected the message. We have done our job and that's it. Yeah, no bad feelings, no nothing. And as a matter of fact, we'll be probably coming back a year later or sometime later and see whether you're interested now or you want to know. Or maybe not. Yeah. But again, that's not up to us. Yeah. We don't force anybody. We don't intend to force anybody, and don't mistake us with some big religious organizations who decided to persecute Christians or persecute people who don't agree with them. Okay, we are talking about Christian conferences, and I'm going to come back to this. And today I don't want to talk about how to organize a Christian conference. We did this in talk number, and you can get all this information. It's number 62, yeah, talk number 62. Talks about how to organize a Christian conference. Again, I'm not an expert in this. I've been part of Christian conferences and also part of the organization of it, and I've been to many of them. So I've got a good idea how they run and the way it's done. I've never been the key guy to organize everything that's been done by others, but I've seen what they've been doing. And the whole idea about this talk is just to try to give you ideas of what you can do for the kingdom of God. And obviously, whatever you do, you need to pray about it. You need to seek God. You need to seek the face of God, especially if you do a big project. There's a lot of money involved. You're getting a lot of people to this place. And you are trying to disseminate certain bit of information or a theme, a subject, to deal with a problem you've got in society, whatever it may be. But it's important that you pray about it, that it's relevant, that it's good, and that is fruitful as well. And whenever you do these things, you should get some people to keep it prayed up. Yeah? Keep the event prayed up. Make sure that everything goes smoothly. Make sure that the attack, which you know takes place from the invisible world, is going to be thwarted before it even starts. Yeah? There's so many things which can go wrong. And again, especially strong, good conferences. Okay, what I want to talk about today is just ideas for for a conference. And I mentioned a few of them last time round. I want to cover a few more ideas, and which you might cover in a conference as part of the War Room activity. And I should have had my little piece of paper up, which I haven't got. but I will have it in a moment's time, and I need to keep talking until I've got it up. That's my mistake. I thought I already opened the file, and I didn't. Okay, conferences. What can conferences be about? It's a big challenges of the day, you know. That's one important thing. Think about in your country, in your community, what is the biggest challenge? So, for example, I would say it could be atheism and secularism. I'm not quite sure whether a lot of people would be enthused to attend a conference when you come up with this, you know, the problem we have. Yeah. Maybe you should round it up and give the conference a good title, you know. How can we address the atheist, or how can we, and then, you know, make it interesting, build something around this, around atheism and secularism. It's a big, big problem, and I think liberalism maybe as well. It's the biggest challenge we are facing today. It's anti-Christian, it's anti-God, and it seems to control an awful lot in society. So we have to look at this. New Age is another thing. You know, it's when I became a Christian, well over how many years ago? 30 years ago, 34 years ago. When I became a Christian, people were talking about the New Age. I didn't know what it was. I'd never come across it, never heard anybody about New Age. And I thought they were all a bit crazy or a bit off. But they were making a big fuss about it. I went to sort of an old traditional evangelical church where I was at the time the youngest. I was probably 17 years old at the time. And I think the next set of generation was somewhere in the 70s. So everybody was over 70. Very few people in between, sort of under 20 and over 70. Anyway, they were talking about this whole stuff, and they were, you know, oh, this is bad and evil and so on. And it took me about, I think, maybe 5 years. I think it took me about 5 years, and suddenly I came across all this New Age garbage, which was just rushing through society, and it was taking people by storm. And then I kind of had to think about it, and I thought to myself, maybe these people were actually quite prophetic to start talking about this sort of 5 years earlier, when I couldn't see anything in society. I never heard this term, never seen what was going on, but suddenly it was all over the place and people were just lapping it up like anything. And it's nice. It was good for me to have a little bit of an understanding, to know where this is all coming from. And I think one of the big problems is we face in Christianity, the danger is that if something is supernatural or spiritual, we think it's from God. And it's not necessarily the case. We are admonished in the Bible to test the spirits and to see what is from God. We need to do this in the Word of God, to test the spirits. And with New Ageism, we had to do this because the terminology very often is very similar to what was going on within the Pentecostal movement. The experiences were very similar. But it wasn't from God. It was something else. It was some evil spirit who was luring people into feeling great and good and powerful, but it wasn't real. It was just fake. We could have like a conference on just Oprah's religion, what she is saying. And to be fair, this woman and a lot of people within her realm, they are very powerful. And we can go, you know, have a conference on fake Christianity. There are a lot of people, a lot of experts who could talk for hours on this. And they could just talk about the modern deception within Christianity, of what is going wrong. And I could right now probably sit here and talk to you for about 4 or 5 hours on all the things I've picked up over the years which has gone wrong, and where people have, you know, gone into full-blown heretic mode. We can talk about political correctness, so you can have a conference on political correctness and how to deal with this from a Christian perspective. And then the other thing as well is, which may be interesting, a conference about different faith and how to deal with them, how to present the gospel. And so, for example, we've got the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, which pretend to be Christians, but when you look at what they teach, it's fundamentally different to what we teach. They've got a different gospel, a different mode of salvation. Islam is maybe a worthwhile conference where you could just, you know, teach people about Islam, maybe together with other religions as well, like Hinduism is quite strong. What else have you got? Catholicism as well. A lot of people don't understand Catholicism, the doctrines which which support the Catholic Church. And again, it might be very interesting to look into the whole apparatus of the Catholic Church and to sort of try and identify what is real. You know, are there any real Christians within this denomination, and what are the big problems to deal with? Again, one of my friends, he is an evangelical, and he has been, you know, loving. How shall I say this? I don't want to be too derogative, but he has been sort of going to the Vatican and sort of trying to create a dialogue with Catholicism and things like that. And obviously, I came out of Catholicism. I know it from the inside, and I could probably talk to you for a lot about it. But again, that was just my upbringing, not necessarily the theology or the official theology. And so I'm pretty much opposed to the whole thing because I've come out of it, and he's going into it. And immediately he gave me some, you know, stuff from some Catholic charismatic group and how well everything was. And straight away I could see the saint worship and, you know, the Mariology and lots of other stuff. And I thought, why are you giving me this stuff? You know, this is just a lot of baloney. Why should I, you know, celebrate these people when I know they're making some serious mistakes in their faith and theologically? It's okay from a Catholic perspective, but not okay from a biblical perspective. And anyway, we always have these little arguments. But it might be worthwhile a conference to see what the belief systems are, to understand and also to be in a position to preach the gospel to them. One of the biggest problems you have is when you deal with groups that are sort of semi-Christian or pseudo-Christian, or somewhere slightly outside Christianity. The problem is they use the same terminology. They use the words like Jesus, salvation, righteousness, mercy, grace. But whatever they put in those words is very different to what evangelicals or Bible-oriented Christians put into those words. So again, it could be a conference on that. Another sort of big area for a conference might be ecumenicalism. And just study what is really going on, and also the attempts to lure evangelical church into some sort of ecumenical movement. And we have seen this with Kenneth Copeland and Tony Palmer, you know, coming straight from the Pope and trying to put them all together and put them all under the banner of the church, and the Reformation is over, and a lot of other things that... There are some videos on the internet going where he had all the Assemblies of God leaders and in America, and he was sort of just, you know, proclaiming the unity with the Catholic Church. And I understand, I haven't seen this on the video, but I understand that a lot of leaders from the Assemblies of God denomination, they walked out when this was taking place because they were just shocked of what this guy is pulling off there. Again, when you listen to the whole argument, I thought to myself that Copeland hasn't got a clue about Catholicism and about Protestantism. And they were just making this argument that the Reformation is over, and because we are just one big church, and Catholic means, you know, the general church, and that therefore we would have to come together and all the rest of it. And the thing is, they were just picking one point from the... from the Reformation, where the Protestants, the Lutherans, and the Catholics made a very woolly statement where they could get some sort of agreement. And that was just about justification by works. But all the other things which came out of the Reformation and the protest which was there, they weren't really addressed. And one of the things was the infallibility of the Pope and the proclamation of a dogma. And recognizing these dogmas. And nobody ever said a word about this. And so there cannot be a unity on false terms. There can be a unity in Jesus Christ. If there's a Catholic and he knows Jesus and he's got a relationship with Jesus, I can have a unity with this brother in Christ, providing he's in Christ. Even if there are doctrinal differences, I can have a unity with him, and I can, you know, have a meal with him and tell him as my brother. But then there's a point, if he preaches a different gospel to the one Paul has preached, so if he messes about with certain parts of the biblical doctrine, then we've got a problem. And then I cannot accept him. I need to separate from, I need to, you know, reprimand him and tell him this is wrong, please change, and do it several times and take somebody with me to do it. And if he doesn't want to listen, then there's a point where we need to go our separate ways. Don't need to hate him, yeah, and that's not the issue, so there's no phobia or hatred or anything like that. But there's a point where I cannot, you know, hang out with this guy, proclaim the gospel, if he preaches a different gospel. For example, if he says you need Mary to find salvation or something. Okay, let me just go through another, I'm just going to look at the time. We've got about 15 minutes left. Let me just look at another sort of subject you could deal with in a conference, yeah, and from a Christian perspective. The next subject I've got is the subject of hell. Yeah, it's something nobody preaches about, and I mean the sermon about hell, I can probably count them on one hand, the sermons I've heard about hell. If I had been born maybe 100, 200 years earlier, probably I would have heard hell in every second sermon, but not in our day and age, not in our generation. So hell is very important, and I would maybe run a conference on hell, and you could, you know, look at the Bible. What does the Bible say about hell? Biggie is that Jesus talks more about hell and avoiding it than about heaven and getting into it. It's because of maybe the horrors of hell, which is there. There are a couple of guys, a couple of pastors, who say that they've had a taste of hell, that they'd had a vision of hell or something. There's one called Bill Wieser. I can't think of the other guy. Anyway, might be interesting to maybe watch a film of what these guys are saying and discuss it, you know, whether this ties up with the Bible or not. Another subject which could be very interesting is sort of the alien deception, the UFO phenomenon, to look at some examples, to talk about it, do a conference about this, see whether, you know, people go to it. There's the phenomenon of alien abduction and other things. It's very way out there, and again, the church doesn't dare to tackle it, but it is important. There are a lot of people who have tackled this subject. There's Billy Crome, Jim Williamson, Chuck Missler, Trey Smith, Guy Malone, and they've all sort of, and you can check them out on YouTube, they've talked a lot about this stuff. The consensus between all of them is that that aliens and UFOs are not extraterrestrial, but extra-dimensional. That they come from a different dimension, they somehow get into our dimension, and there's a big deception. There's a very big deception behind this. We've got the flat Earth phenomenon, and I'm not quite sure whether it's worthwhile to run a conference on that, but but I look at everything, see what they have to say, and they've got some very compelling arguments. The problem is it doesn't work out. Yeah. I've got some arguments which shatter the whole flat Earth theory. Is it relevant? Is it not relevant? I'm not sure. I'm sure you could do some talks on this on both sides and let people know what is the whole issue here and what do people talk about and why do they have this issue. And I think this is sort of conspiracy theory on steroids when you talk about flat Earth. That's my personal opinion. And they don't believe anybody what anybody says, and then they come up with some very extreme examples. We've got Islam and sort of the whole jihadi movement. A lot of people don't understand what's in it, and it would be ideal to run a conference on this subject. There are a lot of very well-versed speakers. There are a lot of Muslims who have become Christians. I've had the privilege to meet an imam who was quite high up in the Islamic echelons, and he became a Christian. And sometimes it's very interesting to listen to these guys to sort of try and understand what's really going on and why they are having this drive to terror and all that. We've got the big subject of deception in the church. We've got the word faith movement. We've got dominionism. Things like that, and again, you could make a whole conference about it and sort of cover, you know, all the different sort of deceptive areas. And again, as Christians, for us, it's very important that we are not sort of taken in too easy. Then on the other side, I've seen some people who talk about deception within the church, and very often I think they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and they go to an extreme where if somebody paraphrases something from another book, he's considered to be a false teacher, and they go to town with him. And I've seen this stuff, you know, very strong Bible teachers being dragged through the mud, and I don't think it was necessary. Again, that's just my opinion. Maybe it was. I don't know. But there is some big heresy out there within evangelical Bible believing domain, and there's a lot of confusion there as well, you know. And we find this within the Pentecostal movement, that there's a lot of very strange stuff going on, and we find this also within other parts of the movement, within sort of the evangelical, the liberal side of things, the cultic side of things, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And so it might be worthwhile to maybe run a conference on that. We talked about end time, Christian movies, maybe a conference on that as well, where you look at some, like the Noah movie and others. We could have conferences on Egyptology, archaeology, and Christianity, and see what is there. The problem we have is that secular archaeology tries to work against verifying and confirming Christian concepts or, you know, things which are stated in the Bible. But unfortunately, they're digging up so much evidence that when you analyze the evidence, a lot of it just fits into biblical history. And there might be an interesting thing to just get some experts on this subject and to build a conference around this. You know, what does archaeology say about the Bible? You know, does it confirm the Bible? Does it negate the Bible? We find it confirms the Bible. A lot of it confirms the Bible. We have got maybe Israel as the nation of Israel. This is a fascinating subject. Conference about that. Israel is sort of a bit taboo and is now the evil person, and Palestinians good, Israel bad. I've seen this in one Christian conference as well, where there was tons and tons of anti-Israeli literature. Again, challenge you, talk to Palestinians, talk to Israelis, and try and get a real picture. I doubt anybody has got the real picture. And it's not quite as black and white as what people make it out to be, from both sides, you know, from the Israeli side as well as from the Palestinian side. But it would be an ideal conference to just look at the promises of God and to look at all the aliyahs, look at the history of Israel, look at what's going on at the moment, look about the construction, potential future construction of the temple, and where they put the temple, or where they can put the temple. And then that gives us an idea of what will be going on with the end times, you know, as the temple is about to be built. Okay, what other subjects have we got? We've got, I'm just looking through some of the stuff, globalism, the New World Order, Georgia Guidestones. So that might be one thing which you might want to use. We've got the false church spirituality, Kundalini spirit. You know, how does it work in, and what is the problem? How can we recognize that there's a false and a bad spirit coming into our church? You know, pretending to be giving supernatural experience, but really it's not from God. How can we recognize this? What can we do? And that might be an interesting conference as well. We could have conferences on outreach methods. You know, how do we even evangelize? What can we do to reach out to our generation, which is getting more and more difficult? And we could sort of discuss, have specialists and little talks on social media, on paper, you know, going onto radio, going onto TV, you know, how to do stickers, word of mouth, how to do street preaching, what equipment do you need, events, newsletters, tabloids, creating websites, having special interest groups, and things like that. So that could be a conference on that as well, just on outreach methods. And I think it's very, very important. When I look back, sort of in the 80s, you saw Christians on the streets all the time, or 90s. In the second part of the millennium, you don't see them at all anymore. I can't remember seeing a street preacher for a very, very long time. And it may be time to see what we can do, and also to be aware of implications. Laws have changed. We've got to be very careful about the hate speech stuff, and it's no point in being shut down within the first 5 minutes if we can, you know, do a little bit be clever about it, and avoid anything they can use against us. You know? Conference about persecution, persecution index, what's going on in the church worldwide. Conference about possibly church history. Let people know what was going on in the church. Then we've got other subjects. Let me see how much time I've got. I probably need to rattle them down. Or yes, I need to rattle them down. Prophecy might be a good area. Witchcraft, the occult might be a necessary area. The whole LGBT thing, there could be a conference about this. How, as Christians, do we deal with this? TV and film deception, the Hollywood agenda, you know. Big conference on that one. And you could put it in with Christian filmmakers, Christian film producers. What can we do to produce good Christian films? Maybe get some specialists in there to give us some hints and tips on how to produce good films. Christian writing, you know, we need Christian writers. How can we get into the newspapers? How can we get into magazines? We can look at the role, traditional role, the biblical role of fathers and mothers, of men and women. And what is our role? How should we live in this society? We could look at prepping. That would probably be a good one as well, with a lot of interest. Prepping, biblical prepping, what can we do? Survival and outreach in a persecution scenario. How can we anonymize ourselves? How can we communicate safely with encryption? How can we make sure that we cannot be tracked down if there's persecution? How can we hide New Testaments or Bibles or Christian literature and safeguard it from being snapped up by the authorities? So that might be maybe an interesting place as well. We could talk about specialist Christian groups. There's a King James only debate. Which is the best Bible? There might be a conference around this. Which is the best translation? What kind of text do we have? You know, the original text in Greek and Hebrew. Which should we go for? There might be something within climate change. Is it a lie? Yeah? Or global warming? Is it real or is it a lie? What should be our Christian response? The shift in morality in society and versus Christian or biblical morality. Where do we stand and how far are we apart? And that might be an interesting conference. Revival research. There are a couple of guys. There were quite a few revivals in Europe in the last 200 years. There are a few revivals going on right now. There's one in China. Might be an interesting subject as well to get some specialists talking about revival. What is going on in revival? Islamization of society could be interesting subject. Is it taking place? And then obviously you could have conferences on creating your own recording studio, podcasting, reaching out using the internet, and so on. And this, I think, leads us right to the end. Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds left. Just a couple of ideas. There are probably many more ideas out there. I want to encourage you to just get hold of them and to use them for a potential conference. Pray about it. Seek the face of God on what to do and then just go with it and start a conference. You know? Put something together. Make sure it's not you alone. Make sure you've got a strong team to support you. Okay, God bless, and let's listen to Dale again, and looking forward to hear you tomorrow.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.